You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Very honored today. We have a guest speaker with us. I don't know how far you came to church, but he came further, all the way from Sydney, Australia. If you haven't met Lee Burns, he's a friend of this ministry. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of this church. He is the executive vice president of Hillsong College at Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia, and he has ministered to this congregation, and more than that, he's just a dear friend for Terry and I. We've been to his house, we've met his family, and he always treats us so well, and he's just an encourager to the body. And so when I heard he was in the States, we just begged him to come and to speak life to us. So Palm Valley Church, would you give your best and warmest welcome, Pastor Lee Burns.
Good morning, everybody. How are you all? Hey, it is a huge honor to be here. I flew in about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, came into church last night. We ate when I flew in. We ate after church, and I figured by 8 o'clock last night, I'd already had 8 tacos. And so I'm ready. It's all in me, ready to come out today. And so, man, I love being here. It's a huge honor. I think you got the greatest senior pastors in the world. Absolutely. Amen. Incredible church, and good to see it raining. I've never seen it rain here, and so it is nice to see a bit of the rain. I kind of brought it with me. I'll take it home with me as well tomorrow, and so that's fine. But today we're going to speak to you on a subject called There Is More Miracles. There is more miracles. I honestly believe in the body of Christ that we should go after more miracles. I think there's so much more available to us than what we go after, but so often the enemy kind of wears us down and just has us thinking that, no, you can't believe for that. You can't go after that. That'll never happen for you. And today I want to speak to you on the subject, there is more miracles, but more than anything, at the end of today, have you walking out of here going, do you know what, I'm going to go after more. I believe there's more promises ahead for me yet. There's more promises for my marriage, more promises for my family. And have you walking out of here believing that there is so much more ahead of us? Amen? A few years ago, I was in West Timor in a little town called Kupang. And they had a combined churches gathering there and asked me to come and speak at it. And so I did. And there was like 10,000 people turned up on this football field, and I spoke that night, and at the end of it, I did an altar call for people that needed prayer to come forward. And people came forward, and as they came forward, I could see one gentleman. He was just dragging his leg behind him. And so I went down and I worked through an interpreter and just found out what had happened. And basically, his leg had locked up on him 4 years prior. And he couldn't get treatment for it, and so the result was he wasn't able to walk on his leg properly. And I said to him, do you believe Jesus can heal you? And he just nodded his head, and so I put my hand on his hip and began to pray for him. And I finished with, and in the name of Jesus, be healed. And as I said it, it was like this happened in his hip, and it felt disgusting. I actually don't know what was worse, having my hand on a dude's hip or the fact that his hip just clicked. Either way, it wasn't good for me. And so he's kind of stared back at me, and I thought, oh my goodness, I've hurt this guy. He's gonna punch me or something. And all of a sudden, his little smile comes up, and tears well up in his eye, and then he starts to move his leg up and down, and then he gets a little line dancing going on there as well. He starts to move it next minute. He's just jumping up and down on his leg. His wife and 2 kids come and join him, and they're just jumping around. And before I knew it, this gentleman was going along the rest of the line of people that needed prayer. And he was going along. All I could hear him say was, Dala Nami Jesus, Dala Nami Jesus, Dala Nami Jesus. And I said to the interpreter, what is he saying? Because it was the first time I'd ever heard the Bahasa language. And so I figured, Jesus, that sounds a little bit like Jesus. I can get that one. But the Dala Nama, it sounded to me like Dalai Lama. And so I'm thinking, why have we got the Dalai Lama and Jesus working here? No, it's Jesus and him alone that we're going after. And so I asked the translator, what's he saying? He said, he's saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And so he was going along the line, telling people that they could be healed in the name of Jesus the same way that he was healed in the name of Jesus. And so as I went along the line, I was like, hey, what can I pray for? And they'd be like, oh, we're all good. We got healed. And go along the other line. And oh, it's all good. I've got healed. And so this guy basically just took my job from me, went along and took over in the name of Jesus. Exactly. And at the end of the night, when I did the altar call for people to receive Jesus, this man and his family came down the front. And I said to the translator, I said, is this guy not even a Christian? And he's talking to him and he turns back. He said, no, he's not a Christian, but he is now. How amazing is God? How amazing is the name and the power in the name of Jesus that his grace would move through a non-believer for the sake of the people in front of him. And I'm here to tell you today, church, to remind you above anything that we have the name above all names, that we can move heaven and earth through the name of Jesus, amen? There is no greater name. Go with me to Acts chapter 3 this morning. Acts chapter 3, turn to the person next to you and tell them you look so much better looking after worship than you did before. Just go ahead and tell them that. And turn to the person of your second choice and let them know as well that they're good looking as well. But check this out, Acts chapter 3, it's a story of Peter and John. They go up to the temple. And they'd gone past the temple on a number of weeks. But this day they go up and they see a crippled beggar. And they go up and basically what happens, I'll tell you a bit of the story. They go up and the beggar thinks that he's going to receive money from them. And Peter and John, we'll find out in a moment, are typical Australians. They basically went up to the guy and said, look, we're all out of cash. But hey, listen, what we have we'll give you. And so the beggar was sitting there like, what's going to happen here? And Peter says, in the name of Jesus, of Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And he reaches out his hand and pulls him up. And strength comes into this man's leg, like my friend in Kupang. And this guy goes bouncing through the temple, letting everyone know, I've been healed, I've been healed, I've been healed. And so then the Jews ask Peter and John the question, how did you do this? And Peter gets up and have a look at this in Acts 3, verse 16. If you got your Bibles, open them up there. Verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus. Notice that. By faith in the name of Jesus, the man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that this that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now notice here. They asked Peter and John, how did this miracle happen? How did this healing happen? And Peter said, by faith in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus and the faith that comes through him. Notice it's got nothing to do with Peter. Peter doesn't say, oh, it's because I hung out with Jesus for 3 years and I'm unbelievable. In fact, I was in the top three. And I'm brilliant. I was there with Transfiguration, saw it all. And that's why this happened. It wasn't because of his brilliance. It wasn't because he had a degree or a master's. It wasn't because he got around the right people or anything like that. He simply says it's the name of Jesus and faith that comes through him that this man was made whole. And so then Peter and John, they're brought before the Jewish law court. The guys that were responsible for looking after basically the Jewish people on behalf of Rome. They're called the Sanhedrin. And so they get brought before them in chapter 4, and the Sanhedrin, check this out. It says in verse 7, it says, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. Listen to their question. By what power or what name did you do this? By what power or by what name? Because the Sanhedrin, who were the authority of the day, the Jewish authority of the day, they knew that it wasn't by their name that this happened. They knew that it wasn't by their authority or their power that this miracle happened. They knew that miracles and power didn't happen through their authority. So they're trying to find out by what authority, on whose behalf are you acting on, Peter? And Peter says to them in verse 10, part B, he says, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Notice that, it's by the name. It's not by me. It's not by my anointing. It's not by whether I wear a suit or don't wear a suit or whatever it is. It's by nothing else. It is the name above all names. It is the name of Jesus that this miracle happened. And then have a look at what the Sanhedrin do here in verse 13. It says, when they, the Sanhedrin, saw the courage or the boldness of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Look at that, unschooled, ordinary men. The Greek word for unschooled is the word idiotes, where we get our English word. You guys are good. You guys are very good. Most Australians wouldn't pick that up. And realize that they were idiots. Ordinary men. The Greek there for ordinary men is Australians. So here we have these idiot Australians. And they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What I love about Peter and John is that they were just ordinary men, just like you and I, men. But they knew something about the name of Jesus. They knew who they worked on behalf of. They knew who they could act on behalf of. You see, in New Testament times, you always acted on behalf of somebody else. When the Apostle Paul gives a testimony, he says, I was going up to persecute the Christians under the authority of the chief priests. And so you always acted on behalf of somebody else. Here, Peter and John know that it's not on behalf of the Sanhedrin, it's not on behalf of Rome, it's on behalf of another king, of another kingdom. His name is Jesus, the name above all names. Amen? Amen. So three things I want to give you this morning. Three things as you're taking notes. They're not three things that you've never heard before. They're just reminders of who we are in the body of Christ. Number one, you belong to another kingdom. When it comes to understanding that we can do miracles, that we act on behalf of Jesus, we need to understand that we belong to another kingdom. The way the kingdom of God operates is different to the way the world operates. You see, in Matthew chapter 8, there's a story of a leper who... He comes down the mountain and Jesus comes down the mountain, this leper goes up and meets Jesus and says, if it's your will, you can make me whole. And Jesus says, it is my will, be made whole. Doesn't even have to think about it. Just knows that what this man's going through right now is against, goes against the kingdom of God, and Jesus brings back wholeness to him. Not only does he bring back wholeness to his skin, but then the man, because he had leprosy, he was isolated from community. He was then restored back to his family and back to community. You see, everything about the name of Jesus brings restoration to humanity. Amen? The Roman Empire put this guy outside because to the Roman Empire, he was known as an expendable. He had no value to the Roman Empire. No value at all. But do you know what, church? What the Roman Empire called of no value, Jesus and the kingdom of God calls of major value. There is not a person on the earth that has no value to God. There is not a person on the earth that has no value to the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? We belong to another kingdom. Jesus says that I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, everything about Jesus brings life. And so often I believe that as believers, that sometimes if we want to see more miracles, we've got to be miracles in other people's lives. Amen? My wife, I've been married now for 20 years. I got some images coming up here behind me. Been married for 20 years as of next month. I know, there's a miracle right there, right? Yeah, she's staying with me, I think, for another 20 years. And there's my two sons. The one on my left is Elijah. He's 18 years old and single. Come and see me. I'll happily hand him over. Ben, the taller one, he's my 16-year-old, and my little girl, Lily. Yeah, there's my little girl, Lily. She's 10 years old. And then here is, the next one is my wife on my left-hand side, and then Elijah again, who's just graduated high school, and then that's not his brother on the other side. That's actually me. Yeah, just if you're thinking. So I've been married 20 years next month, and I know you're all looking at me like, get out of here. You don't even look like you're old enough to be married 20 years. Thank you, PVC. You guys are so generous. Amazing. Amazing. But we've been married 20 years, and it's been like a 20-year lesson in generosity, being with Cherie. She's just the most amazing person. If you come to our house, you're walking out with something. You're always going out with something, whether it's a kid or something like that. We'll give you something. That's all right. We've got three. We're going to give one away. But a few years ago when we first came on staff and we owned nothing. We couldn't afford anything. And Cherie came to me. She said, Lee, we've got these three beautiful couples from another nation. Can we have them over for dinner? And I said, sure, let's have them over for dinner. And so they came over. And at the end of the night, Cherie said, do you mind if we give them something to go home with? And I said, no, let's do that. And so I'm thinking that she's thinking potato salad and sausages. All right, let's give them the leftovers to go home with. But as I stand at the front door, the first couple walk out with our stereo. I was like, oh, wow, all right. The second couple left with a bread maker that Cherie convinced me we needed to save money. And so there goes our money-saving plan out the window with couple number two. The third couple, they're walking out with our television, and they stop, and they look at me with tears in their eyes, and they said, Lee, we can't believe you're doing this. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I look back at them with tears in my eyes, thinking to myself, I can't believe we're doing this. And so our television walked out with the third couple. Well, I shut the door and I said to Cherie, why did you give them our television? And she said, because they didn't have one. And as I looked at the empty TV cabinet, I knew exactly how they felt. But you know what? After 20 years of giving everything that we've got away, we have never gone without. It's like every time we give out, God continues to pour in, amen? If we want to see more miracles, let's look for the opportunity to be miracles in other people's lives, amen? You belong to another kingdom. Number two, is everyone good this morning? Can you understand my English? Number two, you have authority to act in Jesus' name. You have authority to act in Jesus' name. You, right up the back, you have authority to act in Jesus' name. You see, so often we put this down to, well, we'll leave that to the pastors. We'll leave that to the senior pastor because they're so spiritual and they just know how to do this stuff. Can I say this? That every one of us can act in the name of Jesus. We all have authority to move heaven and earth. You see, the reason you have authority is to bring about His will and purpose on the earth. It's to bring about His will and purpose. So you don't get the glory. When somebody says, wow, how did that happen? The name of Jesus and faith that comes through Him. Yeah, but how did you do that? The name of Jesus and faith that comes through Him. Yeah, but you're so incredible. You're amazing that happened. No. It's the faith that comes through Him and the name of Jesus. Amen? It's got nothing to do with you. It's everything to do with bringing about His will and purpose on earth. But here's what the enemy does to us. The enemy comes to us and he just wears us down. He'll come and he'll say something like, you honestly think you're good enough to believe for something like that. And the way the enemy works is, it's like receiving a UPS or a FedEx parcel from the courier. He comes to your door and he says, Mr. Burns, here's a parcel for you. And you go to take the parcel, but he won't let you take the parcel until you've signed for it. What's the signature? Your authority. As soon as you put your authority on it, then you have it. But until you put your authority on it, it's not yours. The enemy works exactly the same way. You wake up one morning, you've got the green 11 hanging out your nose. It's like the enemy comes to you and he says, hey, here's flu. It's all yours. And most of us as believers, we just, all right, I'll take that. Or he'll come to you and he'll go, hey, here's familiarity, here's apathy. Just relax. You don't have to go to church every week. I mean, most Australians don't even go to church at all, so you're a lot more spiritual than them. Just go twice a year, Easter, Christmas. That's enough. That's enough. You're like, well, you know what? Yeah, I am kind of spiritual. I believe that. And yeah, well, I've read my Bible 3 times this year, so I am very spiritual. I'll sign for that. And all of a sudden, we've signed for familiarity. And then 5 years down the track, we wonder why things aren't going our way. We start, what happened? What happened? Because the enemy knows that if you come to church each week and sit under the Word of God, which is preached so powerfully here, he knows that if you take that and begin to apply it to your life, that his days are numbered in your life. And so he doesn't want you to get the Word into you. He doesn't want you to start believing for miracles, because he knows if you do that, he knows that if you understand the authority that is rightfully yours and you begin to act on it, that his days are numbered in your life. Amen? Amen? So the enemy wants to come and wear you down. He'll say stuff like, you can't believe for that. I know your past. Hey, look back at him and just say, well, I know your past. Not only do I know your past, but I also know your future. And my future is looking a whole lot better than your future. Amen? Amen? So church, when the enemy comes to you and he brings you whatever it is that he's trying to give you, just take out your pen, your spiritual pen. Don't put your signature on it. Just put RTS, return to sender, and send that thing back from where it came, amen? Hasta luego. Fuera Satanás. El diablo está bajo mis pies. Whatever you say, get rid of that thing in Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Tell the person next to you, you have authority. Tell the person on the other side, you have authority as well. So you belong to another kingdom. You have authority to act in Jesus' name. Number 3, you are empowered, enabled. I wanted to put that word in, enabled. He gives you the ability to affect change. You have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to affect change, to bring about his will and purpose on the earth. I love this, because this is what Peter and John did straight after Pentecost. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they went about doing what Jesus had done. They saw a crippled beggar and brought him to his feet. They weren't these highly educated guys that we often think they are. Oh, these guys were a cut above the rest. They weren't a cut above the rest. They were just like you and I. And I can honestly tell you that if you understand the authority that is rightfully yours and the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, you can bring about his will and purpose by affecting change on the earth. A few years ago in 1997, I was in Bible college. And we come out of college this day, and I had a friend of mine, and we're from the same city, Newcastle, in Australia. And we came out, and the pastoral care pastor came up to us and he said, hey, can you guys go down to the hospital and pray for this young kid who needs prayer? And my friend and I said, yeah, for sure, we'll go down. And so we got in the car and we're driving down to the hospital, and I said to my friend, his name's Sanger, I said, Sanger, have you ever prayed for anyone to be healed? And he said, no, I haven't. Have you? I said, no, I haven't. And I said, Sanger, do you know any scriptures that we can use? And Sanger said, I don't know any. Do you know any? I said, I don't know any. I said, but they used one on Sunday night. It was something like, by his stripes. And Sanger said, oh yeah, we are healed. So I knew the first half of the scripture. Sanger knew the second half of the scripture. All we knew is that we were better together. And so we went down to the hospital and we walked into the room, and the parents were there, and we said, hey, we're here to pray for Timmy. And they said, oh, we've tried that and it didn't work. And you know, you could just sit, tell they'd been there for quite a number of weeks, and you could just tell that they were tired. And I said to my girlfriend at the time, now wife, Cherie, I said, hey, do you mind taking the parents out for lunch just for a moment while we pray for Timmy? And so she took them out, and I came around this side of the bed, and Sanger came around the other side of the bed, and I said to Timmy, I said, hey, we're going to pray for you in Jesus' name, and we're going to believe for you to be healed. Is that cool? And he said, you know, we've already tried that, and the doctors have tried everything, and nothing seemed to happen. So I looked at Sanger, and I went, all right, your turn. And so Sanger said, Timmy, hey, we're going to pray for you and truth be known is we brought a doctor in with us today. And I'm just looking at Sanger like, what are you doing? Let's just stick to the half of scripture that we know each. We don't have to elaborate on that. And Timmy goes, oh, where is he? And Sanger said, oh, you can't see him. He's actually invisible. And Timmy said, well, what's his name? And Sanger says, Dr. J. Now I'm looking at him like, bro. And so Sanger kind of just gives me a wink and a nod. Okay, Bernsie, you start. And so I just put my hand on his shoulder and I started to pray. I prayed everything I knew. And after about 30 seconds, I looked back at Sanger like, all right, your turn. So Sanger begins to pray. Now, when Sanger prays, he prays like God's right up in heaven, like he's the Ancient of Days and a little hard of hearing. This dude's just loud. So he's praying for Timmy, and as he's praying, little Timmy starts to shake. And every time he shakes, this green stuff comes out of him into this bag right next to me. Now, I'm not a medical doctor. I didn't even know we had green stuff in us. I'm a carpenter by trade, just like Jesus. And and this bag's filling up with this green stuff, and I'm sitting there like almost dry reaching, thinking, buy his stripes. And so Timmy's kind of shaking, and when this bag's filling up, I'm kind of starting to panic a little bit, to be honest with you. And Sanger kind of finishes praying, and he gives me the okay, back to you, Bernsie. And I'm looking back at him like, no. And he's looking back at me like, it's your turn. I'm looking back at him like, you started this thing, and we're having this battle with our eyes, you know. You brought up Dr. J. I didn't go, and we're having this battle go on. In the end, I just put my hand on Timmy's shoulder, and I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. And his body just stopped shaking. And the nurse barges through the doors, and she goes, what is going on in here? And I said, oh, we're just praying softly for Timmy. And she said, I could hear you down the other end of the hospital. I said, yeah, sorry about that. One of us gets a little passionate when they pray. And she comes around my side and she picks up this bag and squeezes it. And I'm like, oh my goodness. She says, Timmy, this is a great sign. And she goes to the monitors. Timmy was quite wired up. And she went to the monitors and she went, wow, Timmy, this is amazing. What happened? And Timmy goes, oh, the boys just prayed for me. And as I was praying, Dr. J did a surgery on me. And we just looked at the nurse like, kids, where do they come up with this stuff? But you know, the amazing finish to that is the next day, Pastor Serge came to our class and said, hey, you two guys that prayed for Tim yesterday in hospital, can you come out of here? And I remember walking out going, thanks, Sanger. Dr. J just sent us home from Bible college. And we got out the front and Serge said, hey, just to let you guys know, Timmy strengthened overnight, and the doctors released him, saying it's a miracle. He's released from hospital this morning. Amen? Amen. I'll have the band come up and join me. But church, I can guarantee you, it was not in my ability. It was not in Sanger's ability. It was not in how much scripture we knew or didn't know. All we knew is that if we prayed in the name of Jesus, that stuff would happen. Amen? Amen. And there's people in this room today, and you need to know that you can operate in the name of Jesus to bring about His will and purpose in your life. Amen? Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.